M. Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington.
I saw it was bad. The whole team was on the field. I ain't never seen nothing like that. Like a lot of people in there, we all realized that we ain't never seen nothing like that in our life.
The Buffalo Bills say 24-year-old safety DeMar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest, causing him to collapse on the field during a game Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals.
The stadium was very quiet. It didn't feel like a football atmosphere.
Hamlin is now in an induced coma and is in critical condition. The game was, of course, suspended. What may have been a tornado caused damage and knocked out power in Jesseville, Arkansas. School Superintendent Melissa Spears.
Out of the blue, high winds, awnings begin to blow away, flagpole blows over, and students and staff begin moving to the safe room. But we didn't have any prior warning.
A storm system that brought record rain to Northern California is now heading to the nation's south. Republican control of the U.S. House means President Biden, his family members, and his cabinet secretaries are likely to come under new scrutiny.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. The Biden White House is braced for the Republican-controlled House to open investigations. An aide says the administration will work in good faith to respond to GOP committee requests. The Biden team says it in turn expects Republican lawmakers to conduct their oversight in good faith and not engage in what a spokesman for the White House counsel's office calls political stunts.
Thousands of people have been streaming through St. Peter's Basilica, where the body of Pope Emeritus Benedict has been laid out. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
Benedict became the first pope to resign in six centuries, recognizing, he said, his incapacity to fulfill his ministry due to the strain of old age. Pope Francis championed Benedict's bravery to abdicate his power. He will preside over the funeral of his predecessor on Thursday.
Police say the man who shot and killed the police chief of Brackenridge, Pennsylvania, has himself been shot and killed by Pittsburgh police. 28-year-old Aaron Swan had run from a traffic stop. Allegheny County Police Superintendent Christopher Kearns.
There was a car chase. The suspect crashed the car and fled into the woods. The officers quickly formed a perimeter. While forming the perimeter, the suspect ran from the wooded area. While fleeing from the officers, the suspect fired at the officers.
The number of children who've accidentally ingested marijuana-laced treats rose sharply from 2017 to 2021 as marijuana became legal in more places in the U.S. A study by the Southern Illinois School of Medicine found more than 7,000 confirmed cases of kids younger than six eating the edibles. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, winter is here, huh? It's cold. It's cold all across the country and getting colder. Will America keep its word to Ukraine? President Zelensky is speaking to Congress today. Trump's tax returns in context. I want to share that with you. Senator Bernie Sanders is going to drop by for a few minutes in this first hour. In our second hour, Professor Richard Wolff, the economics professor on the so-called bipartisan retirement proposals. And also is a new Medicare Advantage audit showing that Medicare Advantage programs are indeed ripping off retirees and the government. And in our third hour, Matthew Smith and Natalie Marcutulio on the future of carbon capture. There's an awful lot to talk about today. I want to start out with, the situation in Ukraine and the, our obligation, as it were, under an actual written agreement. Now, we've had many conversations on this program since Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th about this war and about this situation. And I get, I occasionally get calls from people who I guess would describe themselves as hardcore lefties. I don't think so. I think when you're supporting a fascist nation that you're supporting fascism. And I don't see how you can call the current government of Russia anything other than fascist. But nonetheless, the two things that they always cite are the Minsk agreements. This was a ceasefire over the Donbas region that Russia violated. And that on February 22nd, 2 days before he invaded Ukraine, President Putin publicly said, gave a speech and said, the Minsk agreements no longer exist, was his exact phrase. Or the 1991 comment that President George Herbert Walker Bush made to the then premier of the Soviet Union, that NATO would not expand beyond its current borders. That was never written down. It was never added to any agreements, and nothing was ever signed. But there was an actual agreement that was negotiated. It was about a year of negotiations, in fact. It was negotiated in 1994, 3 years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, between the United States, Russia, and the United Kingdom. And it was negotiated in Budapest, in Hungary. And the agreement is referred to as the Budapest Memorandum. President Zelensky has mentioned it many times, including at the United Nations. And here's how it worked out. This was the deal. When the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union, they placed an awful lot of their nuclear weapons in Ukraine. Now, there's two reasons for that. One is Ukraine is a massive country. It's physically the largest country in Europe. I mean, people think France and Spain are huge. No, Ukraine is the size of Texas. It's massive for Europe, by European standards. So there was a lot of space to put the nuclear weapons. But perhaps more importantly, Ukraine is the westernmost part of what used to be the old Soviet Empire, or at least part of the westernmost part. Yeah, Poland arguably was to the west of that. But Ukraine was the place that was like right up against Russia and far to the west. And so if they wanted to fire missiles at the United States over the Atlantic or even at Western Europe, Ukraine was the perfect place to put them. So in 1994, Ukraine was sitting on almost 2,000 SS-19 and SS-24 ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, with nuclear warheads. Almost 2,000. And each one of those weapons were 400 to 500 kiloton weapons, you know, 27 to 37 times the power, the firepower of the bombs that we used to destroy Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. So, I mean, this Ukrainian stash of nuclear weapons was literally six times larger than what China has right now. It was capable of destroying the entire United States, every town and city in the United States with more than 50,000 people, as the Brookings Institution notes, three times over with warheads left to spare. So we, the United States, the United Kingdom, and Russia entered into this negotiation with Ukraine, and we cut a deal. And the deal was we would give, the United States and the United Kingdom would give Ukraine $3 billion for the cost of digging these old Soviet nuclear weapons out of their silos and transporting them to Russia. Russia would take those nuclear weapons and destroy them or dispose of them. In exchange for that, Russia would give Ukraine, which has 15 operating nuclear reactors, again, left over from the Soviet time, Russia would give Ukraine an equivalent amount of radioactive material as to fuel their nuclear power stations. And that's how Ukraine has had nuclear power for these, you know, all these, for the three decades, I guess, since then, roughly, a little more than two and a half decades. We all signed it. And what Ukraine got out of this, I missed the most important part. What Ukraine got out of this was an absolute guarantee from the United States, from the United Kingdom, and from Russia that all three countries would respect their territorial borders and would defend them if anybody tried to invade them, tried to breach those borders. Now, we signed this agreement. And, you know, this is no small thing. I mean, you know, this is President Zelensky on February 19th. Now, this was a week before Russia invaded. Said, quote, since 2014, Ukraine has tried three times to convene consultations with the guarantor states of the Budapest Memorandum. Three times without success. Today, Ukraine will do it for the fourth time. And then later on March 4th, after the invasion was February 24th, so the week after Russia invades Ukraine, Zelensky again holds a press conference. This is all the alliance has managed to do so far is carry 50 tons of diesel fuel for Ukraine through its procurement system, probably so that we can burn the Budapest Memorandum. I mean, we have an actual obligation to this country. So, you know, I just want to lay that out. If you want a copy of the Budapest Memorandum, it's short. It's only two pages long. The entire thing is published at the end of my daily take over at HartmanReport.com. You can read it. You can read it yourself. Share it with your friends. I also wanted to talk about Trump's taxes. This is it. You know, a lot of people don't understand what's going on with Trump's taxes and the Ways and Means Committee. And there is a backstory here and a fore story and a front story. The fore story has to do with Steve Mnuchin and Donald Trump corrupting the Treasury Department and the IRS. The backstory has to do with how this came about. Back when Spiro Agnew was vice president to Richard Nixon, he was literally taking bribes in the White House. I mean, people would show up with briefcases full of money and hand them to Agnew in the White House, following up on bribes that he had been taking previously as the governor of Maryland and prior to that as the county manager for a county in Maryland. Turns out Richard Nixon during that same period of time was also taking bribes in the White House. He took $500,000 in cash from the milk lobby. He took $500,000 in cash from Jimmy Hoffa to get him out of the Sun Valley land deal, which Nixon accomplished. He got John Mitchell to drop those charges against Jimmy Hoffa. Bobby Kennedy reinstated them, by the way, which is which was arguably the trigger point that led to the assassination of John Kennedy. But that's a whole other thing. So when Congress learned about this, they acted. In 1977, Congress passed a law saying that the IRS has to automatically audit the tax returns of every president going forward. Automatically. First year in office, as soon as possible. Why? To look out for people like Nixon and Agnew who were taking bribes. Agnew got busted in part because he was laundering that money. And, you know, money laundering very often shows up if you do a good, thorough audit of somebody's taxes. You can track it down that way. So here we got, and the IRS has done this, by the way. They audited Jerry Ford. They audited Jimmy Carter. They audited Ronald Reagan. They audited, I mean, you know, every single president from Jerry Ford all the way up to Barack Obama, they audited their tax returns until Donald Trump. And then Steve Mnuchin apparently put the kibosh on this when he was Secretary of the Treasury and said, nope, you're not going to do it. And Trump was the one guy who really should have been audited because, you know, automatically under this 1977 law, because he refused to publish his tax returns. Now, here's where it gets really wild. Right now, the Republicans, in fact, Robert Reich even asked about this morning in his Substack post. I think he's misinformed. The Republicans are saying, oh, well, you know, if Trump's tax returns have been revealed, we're going to start revealing tax returns of anybody we want once we take over Congress. Well, you can't do that. This 1977 law only authorizes one person in one committee, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, which is the tax writing committee, only authorizes one person in one committee in all of the entire federal government to have access to the tax returns of sitting presidents or former presidents. That's it. He can then share it with the committee. And that's Richie Neal. He's chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. And back, you know, when Trump became president, he asked for the tax returns, and Mnuchin said no. And, you know, this ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court. And now that we have these tax returns, we see that Trump actually corrupted the IRS. Because now we know that, no, they didn't do what they were supposed to do by law. They didn't audit him. And so, you know, I'm saying Steve Mnuchin needs to go to prison for this, among other things, and or at least be charged with it. There needs to be a serious investigation of it. Bill Pascrell, who is on that committee, by the way, he's actually chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Subcommittee on Oversight. He had Mnuchin before Congress a couple of years ago asking for Trump's tax returns. And Mnuchin said, no, I'm not breaking the law. He said, Pascrell said, I think you're breaking the law. You have no legitimate rationale to withhold these returns. Mnuchin says, I'm not breaking the law. He says, you're not a judge. This will be determined by a court. And Pascrell said, you're stonewalling. And then he pointed out that Steve Mnuchin had released the tax returns of Joe Biden's son Hunter to a bunch of Republicans illegally. Pascrell, by the way, is trying to remind us of this right now. So that's the story and the backstory on Trump's taxes.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And of course, what we're discovering now is that the guy is a massive tax cheat, and he was lying about donations and deductions and what you would expect from this guy. Remember the last time you had two great nights sleep in a row? Still thinking? Cozy Earth was founded to help transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. 13 years and over 5,000 five-star reviews later, they've never wavered on that promise. That's one reason why Cozy Earth is the brand that has made Oprah's favorite things list 5 years in a row. Another is their luxury materials, including the finest premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo. Cozy Earth bedding is super soft, lightweight, and temperature regulating, so you sleep more comfortably year-round. Whether it's their luxury sheets, loungewear, and pajamas, or their new bath collection, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. And be sure to also check out their limited edition linen bamboo bedding collection. Plus, every bedding item comes in a beautiful reusable canvas tote. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at checkout, and save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code TOM, CozyEarth.com.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, C-A-P-T-E-R-R-A.com. Capterra.com.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious, world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with 11 herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. So you remember the administration originally said that we're going to give 4 free COVID tests to every household in America. And you can do that, get them delivered by the post office for free by going to covidtests.gov, covidtests.gov. But they said that they're not going to provide free test kits to people on Medicare. Instead, you have to go to covidtest.gov and get your 4 free test kits. Well, they have rethought this. This is a brand new policy. And this will be the first time that Medicare covers free over-the-counter tests of any kind for people who are, or offers free over-the-counter tests for anybody who's on Medicare. The pharmacy, Medicare pays the pharmacy direct, and you pick it up from your pharmacy. So just an FYI on that, and there are a few other dimensions that have to do with TRICARE and a few other things. We've got a video about it that's over at TomHartmann.com that you can check out.
And welcome back. Wow, there is so much going on in the world today. It's just breathtaking. By the way, I will get to those. I just wanted to tell you one very funny story. And then Bernie Sanders is going to drop by at the bottom of the hour for just a few minutes, and then I'll be picking up your phone calls. And I think I'll have time for maybe a couple of phone calls here after I tell this story. But the board of Tesla right now is starting to get quite concerned about Elon Musk, and the reason why is because it has become public knowledge that he's taking Ambien, which is a sleeping pill. And Ambien is like the new generation of an older drug called Halcyon. And I remember this was like 30, maybe 40 years ago. I mean, this is a long time ago. I was flying from, as I recall, New York to Frankfurt. And I had just and I had gotten some sleeping pills from my doctor so that I could, you know, adjust to the time lag when I got to Germany. And I thought, I'll take one of these things on the plane. I mean, it's an 8-hour flight, and I had cashed in a whole pile of frequent flyer miles. I was sitting in first class on this Transcon flight. And so as the plane was taking off, I took one of these sleeping pills. And I woke up, it seemed like seconds later, I took the pill, you know. But I woke up in a cold airplane on the ground with the door open, and a cold wind blowing through it, and the plane was completely dark, and I was jammed in behind a seat in first class. And I kind of crawled out from underneath the seat going, what's going on here? And there was a flight attendant a couple rows back who had apparently been waiting for me to wake up in this dark plane. And she jumps up and she says, come on, we got to get off the plane. I've been waiting for you to wake up. And what happened was we got up into the air, the plane got up in the air and got as far as Canada, and discovered that the winds were so strong that they weren't going to be able to make it to Europe. So they landed in like Gander, Newfoundland or something to refuel. And when planes refuel, you have to empty the plane. And they couldn't wake me up. I don't do that anymore, by the way. I learned my lesson. But, this is what Elon Musk is taking. And then at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, we're seeing tweets from him. And I'm wondering if, these sleeping pills really intoxicate you. They get you high, pleasantly high, in fact. At least in my experience, you feel a little euphoric. And, another reason to avoid them, frankly. I think it's one of the reasons they're so habit-forming. But the board of directors now, Tesla, is specifically pointing to this and saying, we're worried.
Listening to the Tom Hartman program. Call 202-808-9925.
Fonz Covfefe moment. You know, Trump was also taking these sleeping pills, you'll recall, for a while there. Anyhow, we'll be right back with Bernie.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money.
They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-673-1574.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief, the Buffalo Bills say Damar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest and collapsed on the field during a Monday night football game against the Cincinnati Bengals. ESPN play-by-play announcer Joe Buck.
It went from wondering what was going on to wondering about head injury to then them frantically administering CPR to this 24-year-old safety.
Hamlin is in critical condition. Relentless rain in Northern California, says KCBS reporter Matt Bigler.
Another atmospheric river is expected on Wednesday. You can expect about a half an inch to an inch of rain, and wet weather is in the forecast through next week.
Thousands of fans have been lining up to honor soccer legend Pele at a stadium in Brazil. The BBC's Katie Watson.
The queue to view the coffin stretches for almost a mile, and despite the searing summer heat here in Santos, it's getting bigger and bigger.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll
get woke
in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on SiriusXM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. On the line with us, our old friend Senator Bernie Sanders, the U.S. Senator from Vermont, sanders.senate.gov, Sanders on Twitter. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Tom, and happy holidays to you and all of your listeners.
Well, thank you, and happy holidays to you and your family, too, Bernie. In fact, I just bought a pair of Bernie mittens for Louise. Her hands are getting cold. They're identical to those famous mittens that you were wearing. She was like, if you're going to get me mittens, I want Bernie mittens. Anyway, I understand you have a new position as chair of the Senate's Help Committee. I don't know much about that. And I'm also curious your thoughts on, you know, what's going on right now in our country and in the Senate.
Good. Well, the Help Committee is an abbreviation for Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. So that covers a lot of territory that impacts the lives of millions and millions of Americans. And I think we're going to take a kind of two-pronged approach. On one hand, we want to analyze the problems that exist and come up with real solutions. On the other hand, we want to be realistic and understand that with Republican control over the House and with a number of conservative Democrats, we're not going to get done what needs to be done. Therefore, we've got to do the best that we can. So it's kind of a two-pronged attack that we'll initiate. You know, in terms of health care, well, I think we all know what the problems are, and that we have a dysfunctional healthcare system. Other than that, it's wonderful. And that means we are spending, and people don't know this, really, we're spending twice as much per capita on healthcare as the people of any other nation. We're now spending, Tom, $13,000 for every man, woman, and child.
Wow.
Can you believe that? $13,000.
Wow.
That's, you know, $52,000 for a family of four. Meanwhile, despite spending double what other countries are spending, you've got 85 million who are uninsured or underinsured. We have about 60,000 people who tragically die every single year because they don't get to a doctor on time. We pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, and something like one out of four Americans can't afford to fill the prescriptions their doctors write. And on top of all that, we don't have enough doctors. We're looking at a massive doctor shortage, massive nursing shortage. Yep. We don't have enough dentists. We don't have enough mental health care providers. So other than that, the system is doing really well. But I should say, for all of the listeners who have heavy-duty stock in the insurance companies and the drug companies, they are doing very well, which I guess is what the function of our health care system is supposed to be about, making the rich richer. So that whole area of how you provide health care to all people, lower the cost of health care, take on the pharmaceutical industry to lower the cost of prescription drugs, make sure the people in America are not dying because they don't get to a doctor on time by expanding primary health care access, all of those things are stuff that we're going to be looking at.
I caught a story a couple of days ago that you have a new book coming out. Is that the case?
I do.
Tell me about it.
I do. Be out in mid-February, I think. And it's called It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And essentially, it deals with issues that I think very few people in American public life are dealing with. And that is, the reality is that in America today, we are moving rapidly toward an oligarchic form of society. So in terms of income and wealth inequality, it's worse now than it has been in 100 years. Billionaires are doing, probably the upper 1% are probably doing better today in America than the upper 1% have ever done. The percentage of the wealth they own is extremely high, growing higher. Meanwhile, the middle class continues to shrink. And it's just an astounding reality that today, Tom, despite the huge explosion in technology we have seen over the last 100 years, the average worker, in terms of inflation-adjusted wages, is earning less than he or she did close to 50 years ago. Can you imagine that?
It's truly astonishing, and the top 1%, of course, are making massively more than they were 50 years ago.
Right. So there's been a truly multi-trillion dollar transfer of wealth from working families in the middle class to the top 1%. Now, who talks about it? Nobody.
It's $50 trillion, according to the Rand Corporation. You know, they do
that's
an
right.
analysis.
That's
it's
right.
$50 trillion.
Unbelievable. I mean, who can imagine what that is? But bottom line is, if you're in the middle class now, you're probably doing worse off. You know, when we were kids, and I'm older than you are, the expectation was there was one breadwinner in a family who could earn enough money to take care of the family.
Yeah.
That in those days, it was men. But how many families do you know, middle-class, working-class families, where one person can pay the bill, one person's income pay the bills? Almost non-existent. So you got that reality. Then you got another economic reality. And that is, there's probably more concentration of ownership in American society today than we have ever seen. So whether it is in media, whether it is on Wall Street, whether it is in the food industry, whether it is in transportation, you got a handful of large corporations controlling what goes on in sector after sector. And then on top of all of that, you got three Wall Street firms, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, who control assets of over $20 trillion, the equivalent of the GDP of the United States, and are the major stockholders in 95% of the S&P 500.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Whoa, no.
I mean, it's
an
unbelievable power. So you look at that, you find, you took a few thousand of these people, you know, Wall Street guys and the other media moguls, you put them into a room, they have virtually all of the power in terms of the economic life of the country. Then you look at politically what's going on, and I know you discuss this a lot. As a result of Citizens United and other decisions, you have billionaires buying and selling politicians.
Yep.
So if you add, if you're a billionaire now, you don't like Bernie Sanders, you could put $100 million, start a super PAC, put $100 million to defeat him, and you might be able to do it. So if you look at income and wealth inequality, who's doing well? Rich are doing well. If you look at concentration of ownership, you have record-breaking corporate profits and incredible concentration of ownership. And then if you look at the political process that maintains all of this stuff, billionaires are buying elections, add all of that stuff up together, what do you got? You know, got oligarchy, and it's true in the United States, and more or less it's true all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the people who run Saudi Arabia and their alliances with Russia. You know, the Saudi family is worth $1.4 trillion. One family, $1.4 trillion, working with the Russian oligarchs, working with, you know, billionaires all over the world. So you have a world economy that, you know, is really controlled by relatively small numbers of people. So that's kind of the theme of what the book is about.
Now, when I bring these issues up, and I frequently do. In fact, I've written several books about them, the Hidden History of the American Oligarchy, for example. And then there's the, Rebooting the American Dream that you were kind enough to write a cover letter for and send to all your 99 colleagues in the Senate. Invariably, somebody will call and say, yeah, capitalism sucks. We need to just get rid of it and do what Cuba did or do what the old Soviet Union did and bring back communism. And I'm like, no. Capitalism can be regulated and can function. It's called democratic socialism, if you want to call it. Other countries have figured this out. We have figured this out. We had figured this out between 1933 and 1981. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Can you speak to that if you agree with that or disagree with that?
Sure, I do. I mean, nobody in their right mind thinks the government should be owning everything. That's totally crazy. No one believes in that.
Yeah.
But you have models out there that we can build upon. I mean, you got Scandinavian countries. I had the, we had the ambassador of Finland coming to Vermont. We've had the ambassador from Denmark in the past coming to Vermont. People don't know this. In those countries, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, healthcare is virtually free, as it is in Canada. You know, you spend weeks in the hospital if you have to. You come out, at most, you're going to pay a few $100. You go to the doctor, you don't have to take out your wallet. Healthcare is a human right that exists in many countries around the world. Many countries right now are making sure that their young people can get a higher education, tuition-free, because they understand they want to grow the intellectual potential of their population. You have child care systems which are inexpensive and high-quality countries like Finland. You have, investments in public education to make sure the kids leave school with a wonderful education. Some of them may want to go to higher education. Some of them may want to go to trade school to get a vocational certificate, which will enable them to be an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter, folks who we desperately need right now are making very, very good incomes. So many of the ideas that we talk about, whether it's healthcare, whether it's education, whether it's tax reform, demanding that the wealthy start paying their fair share of taxes, is anybody in their right mind think that it makes sense that three people own more wealth than the bottom half of American society? that you got billionaires there who pay an effective tax rate lower than a fireman or a nurse. No one thinks that makes sense. That's a rigged system. So, you know, we can learn. We can learn from other countries, and we can do it our own way. But the bottom line is you need an economy, you need a government that works for all people and not just the billionaire class, which is more or less what you got right now.
In the 2 minutes or so we have left, I'm curious your take on how we make those kinds of changes. In 1929, of course, you had the great crash brought about by Harding's deregulation of the economy and lowering of taxes and the Republican Great Depression, and that, you know, opened a gap for FDR to come in with a new deal. In 1980, you had this hyperinflation and the kind of sagging economy as a result of the Arab oil embargo that gave Reagan a crisis that he could use to impose neoliberalism on the country, which we've been suffering under for 40 years. It seems like it takes a crisis for a country to really make a major change. What's it going to take for us to get...
I was very proud. I worked very hard, and I know it doesn't get much attention. The American Rescue Plan, which we initiated in the early part of the Biden administration, which went a long way. You know, it's the plan that provided $1,400 for every working class Americans, saved hospitals from going under, extended unemployment, and so forth. What we need to do is to be thinking big. And, Tom, thank God we're not in the midst of a major depression now, as we were in the 30s. But we got 60% of our people living paycheck to paycheck in the richest country on earth. You think that's a crisis? I do. You got old people who can't afford to retire. I think that's a crisis. You got 85 million people uninsured or underinsured. That's a crisis. You got 500,000 people who are homeless in America. That's a crisis. You got 45 million people with student debt. I think that's a crisis. So I think what we have to do is do what the corporate media does not do and say, you know what, that's not what America should be all about. And I think ordinary folks will say, yeah, you're right. Let's move in a new direction.
Yeah, amen. Well, Bernie, thank God you're out there and you're fighting the good fight and you're doing that work every single day. I'm looking forward to your new book, It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And congratulations on being the incoming chair of the Help Committee. Senator, thank you so much.
Tom, you keep up. Look, your voice and the voice of progressive independent journalists and commentators is desperately needed. So keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir. I will do my very best.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I'll be back with your calls right after this. It's 47 minutes past the hour. If you choose to believe Google, then all you need to do to surf the internet privately is turn on incognito mode in your browser. And we're supposed to trust big tech with solutions to our online privacy, right? Well, wrong. It doesn't matter what browser mode you use or how often you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider, your ISP, can see every single website you've ever visited, and they can even sell your data to advertisers. That's why I use ExpressVPN to keep my online data secure and private. I never go online without ExpressVPN, because they make sure my ISP and third-party trackers can't see my online activity and location. They do that by rerouting my connection through a secure, encrypted server. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. ExpressVPN is also the fastest and most trusted VPN on the market. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by Business Insider. Visit expressvpn.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you can get an extra 3 months free with a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Tom to learn more. Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election. and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring, you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. There are no good solid numbers on it, but it appears that the majority of people who have Medicare Advantage programs or plans believe that they're on Medicare. This is certainly how Medicare Advantage is sold. Oh, you're missing out on benefits under Medicare. It's Medicare Part C, don't you know? C for commercial, right? But people don't realize that when you sign up for Medicare Advantage, you are leaving behind Medicare, and you may never be able to get back to it, or at least not in the way that you could have if you had signed up for it when you were 65 and you stayed with it. And now stepping into this void come Congressman Mark Pocan and Congressman Ro Khanna with the new Save Medicare Act that would prevent this kind of deceptive advertising and marketing by forbidding insurance companies and HMOs and whatnot from using the word Medicare to sell these for-profit plans or these so-called Medicare Advantage plans. We all need to be supportive of this. There's a whole video about it over at TomHartman.com. Check it out. It's 52 minutes past the hour, picking up your phone calls. Renee in Live Oaks, California. Hey, Renee, what's up? Renee, watching Free Speech TV in Live Oaks, California.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I have to say I love Bernie. And then second off, I'm having a little trouble with the media. And now everyone is calling these people at the border migrants. And I don't think they're migrating from place to place. I think they're refugees and immigrants. Am I wrong about this, or what do you think about how they're all displaying this?
There are two categories of people, both in fact and in law, de facto and de jure. And those are migrants or immigrants, people who are typically coming to the United States because they're looking for economic opportunity or because they have family who live here and they want to be with their family, whatever. That's one category of people. And that used to be the majority of people coming into the United States up until maybe, I don't know, a decade ago, more or less.
Yeah, I was used to that.
Right. And you know, we dealt with that. You know, Reagan updated our immigration laws in 86. And, you know, we and Eisenhower had tried the Bracero program. And, we've dealt with that in a fairly rational fashion. Then there are immigrants. And the immigrants has started showing up on our border as a result of two things. Number one, during the Reagan administration, we seriously disrupted the governments of El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala, those four countries in Central America. And the result of that has been just a downward spiral of competent governance in that region. And then you compound that, and this really started hitting about 10 years ago, with climate change. And climate change has been causing desertification, particularly in Guatemala. Guatemala is the country that has been hardest hit by this. And then the third factor was the U.S. imposing sanctions during, I believe it was the Bush administration, I might be wrong, it might go back to Clinton, but imposing sanctions on Venezuela because it had a communist government or a socialist government. And so now we've got people coming to our southern border who are literally fleeing starvation, former farmers who are on land that has been turned into desert and they can't grow food, who are fleeing gang violence. Oh, the other thing is the Nixon's drug war, right, which also created, John Dillinger kinds of gangs that are just, running all over the place throughout Central and South America. So now what we're getting, it used to be what we were getting was mostly immigrants. Now what we're getting is mostly refugees. In fact, the vast majority of the people who are coming are refugees. And we adjudicate immigrant status differently than we do refugee status. And so, now we've got a refugee crisis on our southern border. And frankly, nobody in the media is talking about it in those terms. Republicans are the main ones who want to talk about this because, oh my God, there's brown people coming to the southern border. On right-wing hate radio, they refer to them as soon-to-be Democrat voters. And
that's what it is. The media's gotten lazy. They're calling all of them migrants, and they're not all migrants.
That's correct. In fact, very few of them are, actually.
So I'd like to put the word out there to say what it is, not what they're making it out to be. It's just crazy.
Yeah, these are refugees, and they're coming because literally hundreds of Republican politicians for the last 6 months leading up to the election have been screaming and yelling to the world, and these are heard down in Central and South America by these desperate people, that Joe Biden opened the border. And,
I know.
If I heard from Canadian politicians that Canada had opened the border and any American who wanted to go to Canada could get, could then benefit from getting their basically free health care and free college educations or very, very low cost and very high quality of life and no mass killings and you don't have to worry about your kids going to school, getting shot up. Hell, I might be inclined to do it, the fact of the matter is it's a lie.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Renee.
That's exactly what I thought. You're
okay.
So right on everything.
Thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. And happy holidays, Renee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
My dog was scratching and shedding like crazy around the house. When I heard about Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, I thought, why not? Couldn't hurt. We literally tried everything else. Our dog quickly took to it, and after a couple of weeks of adding Dynavite to his food, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and he almost completely stopped shedding and itching. I can't wait to see how well it helps him with his allergies as the seasons change and he's in the yard more. I'm so glad I tried Dynavite.
My dog smelled so bad and scratched herself constantly. We bathed, sprayed, and bathed her again, but no results. And then I heard about Dynavite supplements for gut health, and all of the reviews sounded just like my Bella. After just 2 weeks, she had major improvements with the smell, and no more scratching or dragging her stomach across the carpet, and her coat is more beautiful than ever.
Happier, healthier with every bite.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
feels, I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.